Talking Tummies, the Discovery Home and Health Pregnancy Podcast, week 27.
Welcome to Talking Tummies, where week by week our experts will give you advice and information to help and support you and your baby. Each week, we'll bring you up to date with how your baby's developing and hear from some other mums and mums-to-be about how they're enjoying and coping with their pregnancy. Don't forget, you can listen again at any point. Or if you're after information about a particular topic, look at the Talking Tummies page on the Discovery Home and Health website. That's homeandhealthtv.co.uk. It's week 27 of your pregnancy, and in this week's show, we'll be finding out about preeclampsia, a condition that many women fear and one that may only become evident now. We'll be hearing from consultant obstetrician Des Holden in a couple of minutes, but first, let's do a baby update.
What's going on?
Your baby will grow over half an inch this week alone and is steadily running out of room for further expansion. With this lack of space to move, you may feel her turning less, but you'll still feel those kicks. She's about 19 centimetres or 7.4 inches long and weighs around 750 grams or 26 ounces. Your little one's brain also continues its rapid growth, so don't forget to share music, conversation, and even books with your baby. Her response to sound is growing more consistent as the network of nerves to the ear is complete, and she may start to recognise your voice as well as your partner's. Lungs continue to grow in preparation for functioning on the outside, and she continues to take small breaths. Although she's only breathing in water and not air, it's still good practice for when she's born.
You just want to move your legs all the time because it feels like you've got, they're full of insects or something, and you can't get rid of the sensation. What I do, and this is a tip that I heard ages ago and it actually does work, and if I didn't do this, I really probably wouldn't sleep at all, is I have to plunge my leg, my lower part of my leg, into cold water before I go to bed. It's really extreme.
If you are one of the 15% of women who suffers from restless leg syndrome, you will recognise this feeling. It's not known exactly what causes RLS. It's thought it might be down to nutritional deficiencies, but there's no clear evidence yet to prove this. It could also be down to changes in blood circulation. As your belly grows, pressure builds on the pelvic floor, restricting the blood flow to the lower part of your body. Unfortunately, because no one knows what causes it, there isn't any medical treatment. Relaxation and massage may help, so it's best to try them out. But if they don't work, you may just have to put up with this until you deliver. If you're interested in finding out more about this or a topic that isn't in this week's show, go to the pregnancy section of the Discovery Home and Health website at homeandhealthtv.co.uk. From there, you'll be able to access details of all the shows in the series and interact in the pregnancy forum, where you can share and swap tips with other mums and mums-to-be.
I've got the nursery pretty much ready, although I haven't got the cot yet, but I've ordered it. Haven't got the buggy yet, but again, I've ordered it, so it should come very soon. I've bought quite a few clothes, and actually I bought a lot of my clothes from the NCT sales, which are absolutely fantastic. Sort of nearly new stuff. You can buy about 20 items for sort of 20 quid. I mean, it's incredibly good value. And most of the stuff are sort of newborns and after it has barely been worn, so it all looks pretty much new.
You too may have started to think about things you might need for the baby's room, but don't panic. You don't need to make the place toddler friendly just yet. But you do need some basics. You'll need a cot, a changer, and a baby bath at the bare minimum. Some parents just have a Moses basket for the first few months, changing the baby on a towel and bathing them in a new clean bucket. So, what you need is really up to you. Contrary to popular belief, babies don't have to cost a fortune. If you are planning ahead though, it is nice to have the nappy changing area at waist level, so a changing unit could be considered an essential, depending on how good your back is. Sometimes cots seem too big for tiny newborn babies, so a good idea is a smaller version, like a crib or Moses basket that you can have next to your bed. There are lots of baths to choose from, including ones that fit onto your bath and ones where the baby is cushioned. As long as it's easy for you to keep hold of the baby whilst you wash them, it'll work for you. Many of these items can often be sourced from relatives, friends, and even secondhand shops, so now might be the time to start looking. We'll hear more on this from our mums and mums-to-be later in the show. You can claim a refund for travel to antenatal appointments if your family receives income-based job seeker's allowance, income support, or working families tax credit. Claim by filling in Form HC5, available from your clinic or your local social security office.
An expert update.
Whilst most pregnancies are totally normal and for others it's only the standard discomforts that make it unpleasant, occasionally things don't always go as nature intended. Pregnancy-induced hypertension, or preeclampsia, is a condition many women have heard of and if untreated can be very serious. Fortunately, only about 10% of women actually suffer with it. Consultant obstetrician Desmond Holden explains who is most at risk.
Preeclampsia is caused by the way the placenta has stuck onto the wall of your uterus early on in pregnancy, but it takes a long time to reveal itself, and it never reveals itself until after 24 weeks. The main group of people at risk of preeclampsia are first-time mums, because it seems that a pregnancy protects against preeclampsia for future pregnancies. The exception to that is either women who have got a new partner or women who have certain medical problems when they enter pregnancy. So women who are diabetic or who already have high blood pressure before they fall pregnant.
As with many medical conditions in pregnancy, there are loads of old wives' tales about preeclampsia, but most of them are simply symptoms of pregnancy and not symptoms of preeclampsia.
Many women come to me saying, my blood pressure's a bit high and I have a headache. Is my preeclampsia getting worse? Do I have preeclampsia? And the answer is almost always no. If we look at headache in pregnancy, less than 1% of women with headaches in pregnancy have preeclampsia. But everybody has heard of this symptom and they all think that they have preeclampsia. The other common symptom of pregnancy, to be edematous or to have swollen ankles and swollen fingers, again, is far more common than preeclampsia. And although you could have preeclampsia as well as swelling, by far the most likely thing is that you just have the swelling. So sadly, it's one of those conditions that's pretty silent, and that's why we have to actually test blood pressure and dip your urine for protein, because unless we do that, we can't make the diagnosis.
If you are diagnosed with preeclampsia, there is no real treatment. Your doctor may suggest trying to reduce your blood pressure with rest and diet, but ultimately delivery of the baby is the main treatment. Your midwife and GP will be able to give you more information about this, and of course, there are details on the pregnancy section of the Discovery Home and Health website at homeandhealthtv.co.uk. We'll be going into loads of detail about your birth plan over the next few weeks. By now, you'll know where and how you're planning to give birth, and maybe already thinking about preparations for your labour. Many women feel anxiety about this and put thoughts of a painful labour to the back of their minds. Janie Goddard is president of the Complementary Medicine Association and believes that early preparation can be really beneficial.
It's extremely natural to be concerned about being pregnant. It's extremely natural to be anxious about the idea of giving birth. It's a heck of an undertaking, isn't it, really? I mean, it's a huge job. So it's very, very sensible indeed to look at ways that if you think you're going to be nervous or if you're prone to nervousness or anxiety about pregnancy or childbirth, and hypnosis is one of those approaches that is tremendously helpful. It is a way of helping you to relax, of helping you to almost dissociate from any uncomfortable sensations that you may have. Now, when I say dissociate, what I mean is it feels as though you're almost actually stepping outside your body. And although you're totally engaged, you know everything that's going on, you're not in a trance, you're not away with the fairies, but what you are doing actually is just in the most very, very natural way, and this actually happens with a hormone called oxytocin that you'll produce naturally, is that you almost enter this state whereby it's as if the childbirth is actually happening to somebody else that you're looking at. So you're actually almost one step away. So you're dissociating almost from what's going on. That's actually a very, very natural thing to do. It sounds a bit weird, but actually it's a very natural thing to do. And that's part and parcel of the role of oxytocin that we produce during childbirth. This is something that you have to learn. You can't just expect to read a quick book on hypnosis in childbirth, for example, and then expect to be an expert at it, because there'll be a lot going on. You really do need to learn how to concentrate. You need to learn how to relax in a very busy environment with lots of things going on. However, the upside of all of this is that there is a side effect. And if you learn these techniques, if you teach yourself these techniques, you'll be able to utilize these forms of techniques after you've given birth. And so, for example, if you're having problems with sleeping, if you're finding that you're waking for the night feed and then can't go back to sleep, for example, you'll be able to use these hypnotherapeutic techniques to actually get yourself back to sleep properly.
To find out more about complementary medicines and how they can help during pregnancy and beyond, have a look at the Discovery Home and Health website at homeandhealthtv.co.uk. Talking tummies. Even if you are born to shop and never happier than when trawling the high street in search of bargains, you may find that exhaustion, insomnia, and morning sickness have clipped your wings. The bigger you get, the less mobile you will become. So if you are thinking about some preparations for your baby, stuff for the nursery, clothes and so on, this is a good time to get out there while you still can.
I'm a bit of a shopaholic, absolutely love shopping, but I've surprised myself and actually have been quite measured and calm in that respect. Probably because I feel overwhelmed and there's just such a huge amount of stuff. You go to shops like John Lewis, Mamas and Poppers, and it's all so lovely and there's so much of it, you don't quite know where to begin. So I've just made a very sensible list, and once I finish work and I feel I can really focus on it properly, then I'll have a couple of days and just buy everything in a couple of big sessions.
We bought a lot of stuff that we really didn't need, and I wish we kind of hadn't bought so much of everything at the beginning, and maybe just kind of bought a few basics and then went along, you know, and bought what we needed as we went along. We bought things like breast pumps and sterilisers, which we never used. I breastfed, and then when I stopped breastfeeding, he went onto bottles. So I bought all of those things expecting that I would have some sort of break from the baby, which I never ever really did and never wanted to. So that was a waste of money. And things like, you know, creams and lotions and potions, which you don't really need. And, you know, in actual fact, it's much nicer for the baby to be completely sort of natural and not really smell of anything other than being a baby.
I didn't want to buy too many things because people are still superstitious about things, but I didn't want to be in a position where I was having to send my husband off to buy up the whole of mother care in one fell swoop. So I bought enough to get us going. I didn't go mad. I made sure that the nursery was ready, but I didn't over-decorate either. I made sure the baby had the basics.
Actually, I went on a huge shopping spree on Saturday with a girlfriend of mine who's got a baby that's a year old. And so she really advised me what to get and what not to get. I think you can spend a lot of money unnecessarily.
In next week's show, we'll be discussing the benefits of antenatal classes and ways to avoid constipation.
Talking Tummies. The Discovery Home and Health Pregnancy Podcast.